gulp, leap, soar. Marcia McPhee, the author of this worship series called Emerge, uses that three-word mantra to describe her experiences as an undergraduate student majoring in music and theater. Before every audition and every performance, there was a moment when one had to confront the fears and the unknowns and gulp and leap in order to finally soar. Last weekend, I witnessed a couple dozen teens and preteens do precisely that. For the past several years, you may recall, I have been the pianist for the Richfield Springs School District, and last weekend, many of their music students participated in NISMA, the New York State School Music Association's annual evaluations. Let me set the scene for you last Friday night. Now, the vocalists had been preparing since January. They had memorized a song, which I played for them. They had spent several weeks practicing sight singing, which is to say, you look at a line of music that has no words, and then you start from do, and you sing the notes that go up or down from do. And their teacher, Ms. Smith, has them use the hand symbols to remember how to find the pitches. I never learned those symbols, so I don't really remember them. This is do, that's as far as I got. But they would sing, for example, do, re, mi, re, do, ti, do. See what we're doing here. So they spent weeks preparing, weeks. And the day of their evaluations, they all dressed up. They arrived by school bus at Norwich High School, which is the host site. They got their official paperwork. Their teacher did vocal warm-ups with everybody. And then at their assigned time, they arrived on the school hallway and waited for their particular judge to invite them in to sing. Intimidating? A little bit? You bet it was. Every one of them had performed on stage last fall in the school musical. Many of them had spoken words. Some of them had vocal solos in that show. And at the same time, for many of these kiddos, this was their first NISMA solo. They were prepared. They were also very nervous. One of the first ones to present his solo stood in the hallway with me, waiting for the judge to call us in, and he rocked back and forth on his little feet and kept saying, "Scary, scary, scary." And I asked him why he was scared, because he was so well prepared. He knew the song, he practiced his sight reading, he was ready. And he told me it was because he'd be singing in front of someone he didn't know. And he wanted to do his best, but he had so much to remember. By the way, the total score for his level of solo would have been a 28. He got a 27 out of 28. He missed 1 point on his sight reading, but it was scary. It was scary. And one of the girls was so terrified that she stood wide-eyed in the hallway, refusing to go in the classroom even when the judge came out to get her. Finally, her mother, who was helping to chaperone, promised her ice cream to get her to go in and sing. Every single one of those kiddos had to gulp and leap in order to soar, and they did. Every one of those 24 kids scored either excellent or outstanding, the two highest categories, and it earned each one of them a medal from NISMA. Moses and Aaron were like the Miss Smiths and the Mrs. Rankinsbirds to the Israelites, encouraging them to gulp and leap and soar, even though it was scary, scary, scary. And I imagine those Israelites needed to take a pretty big gulp as they set out from Egypt. Let me recap how they got to this moment. God had visited 10 plagues on Egypt to convince Pharaoh to let the Israelites go. Then Moses led them out of Egypt and into the wilderness, headed back toward their ancestral lands. When they reached the Red Sea, which separates Egypt from the Sinai Peninsula, God parted the waters so they could pass through. But then the waters closed in around the Egyptian pursuers and swept all of Pharaoh's army away. The people were relieved and jubilant. Moses led them in the celebration. His sister Miriam led the women in dancing and singing. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and rider thrown into the sea. So with a song in their hearts and exuberance in their steps, they turned their backs on Egypt and headed out into the wilderness toward the promised land. And they reached the first rise, and they saw the desert stretch out ahead of them as far as they could see. And their joy carried them to the next rise and to the next. Sometime about a month or so into this journey, the joy waned and the exuberance faded and the daily monotony of the desert began to take its toll. The people began to wonder if they had made a mistake trusting in Moses and Aaron. They began to wax nostalgic about their time in Egypt. We ate our fill of meat and bread there, they complained. But did they really? Because I don't find anything in the account of time spent in Egypt that sounds like the Israelites had a good deal. They were enslaved people in Egypt. Moses begged Pharaoh to give the people one day off a week to worship God, and that was denied. They were sentenced to cut their own straw to make their bricks, but the number of bricks could not decrease, meaning they had to work both day and night or face punishment. Doesn't sound like a good time to me. But it was, as the saying goes, the devil they knew. And the desert and the journey and even the promised land were the vast unknown. They had, in Marcia McPhee's words, taken the gulp, taken the leap, but they were not yet ready to soar. They were the little kiddos in the hallway at Nisma, wide-eyed, feet glued to the floor, repeating, "Scary, scary, scary." And God heard them. God heard their fear. God received their complaints. God responded. God sent bread from heaven, manna, every morning except on the Sabbath morning when God sent twice as much the day before so the people wouldn't have to work on the Sabbath to gather it. God sent a bevy of quail in the evening so the people would have meat to eat. And in later days, God directed Moses to strike the rocks themselves so that water would come from the rock, sweet and delicious and thirst-quenching. In fear and even in anger, God's people lamented and God listened. And God provided. God revealed God's self to be very different from Pharaoh. See, up until now, the Israelites' lives and service had benefited Pharaoh. Pharaoh had proved to be a demanding taskmaster. When the people complained about Pharaoh's treatment, Pharaoh made life more difficult for them. Here in the wilderness, set free from the past and its memories and its baggage, they lived a new life, a different life. Here, when they complained to God, God provided for them. Here, they served a master whose goal was not the master's personal benefit, but abundant life and care and nurture for the members of the community. And every Israelite was a member of the community. No one was excluded because of age or gender or status. God even told them to make provision for the foreigners who might come into their midst. In the desert, they learned anew how to trust in the one who created them and cared for them. They learned to build community characterized by integrity and honor and compassion. They had gulped, they had leaped when they left Egypt. Here, with God's help, they would learn to soar in their faith. This time in the wilderness would shape souls like Joshua and Caleb, who would see Jericho and trust that God would open the way for them to enter. Souls like Deborah, who would one day administer wisdom and justice for God's people in the promised land. Souls like Gideon, who would trust God for the battle victory even when God pared his fighting men down to a force of 300. Souls like David, who would face down a giant to end the Philistines' attack against Israel, and then would one day rise to be king. When you have spent time in the wilderness of life, and haven't we each had our own wilderness experiences? How did God provide for you? How did God encourage your trust? How did God shape your faith so that you would be able to leap and to soar? Sometimes the leap of faith is as simple as walking through a door. Those kiddos from Richfield Springs School learned that last week. Sometimes the leap of faith is much harder. Standing up for migrant workers in our communities. Speaking out against the gun lobby. Giving generously to food pantries and homeless shelters, even as we watch our own buying power diminish in a recession. The lesson of Exodus, of a people's desert wanderings, is clear. God provides. And so we, God's people, take a gulp and leap forward, trusting that God has prepared us to soar. Australian poet Aaron Hansen has written, "There is freedom waiting for you in the breezes of the sky, and you ask, what if I fall? Oh, but my darling, what if you fly?" Amen.